Bible Friends is a book I'm sure that you're not acquainted with, but you ought to be, because the Bible tells you like no other book does, as how you can be saved, and of course warns you of the coming judgment of God upon sinners. Bible opens up the way of salvation to you. God's salvation, the provision of God's escape route, if you like, out of the mess of sin that you got yourselves into. Bible says that this is the condemnation, that you have not believed God's Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, it's that unbelief, and unbelief alone, that keeps you from the kingdom of God. Nothing else. All our sin can be forgiven. You might be a murderer, a rapist, pedophile, sodomite, fornicator. You might be all kinds of a sinner, but all that can be forgiven. All that can be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. But if you remain in your unbelief, in your stubbornness of sin, darkness, then you remain just as you are. You remain in your sin. Remain the way that you were born, the way that most of you live, and of course the way that the majority of you doubtless will go out of this world in your sin to a lost eternity. So I tell you, people, unbelief is the capital crime. Unbelief is the sin of all sins, not to believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. For that God will damn you forever and ever. And that's a long, long time, people. Eternal, everlasting flames, where the worm does not die, the fire is not quenched. Willing to gamble your soul on the lies of men, go with this godless evolutionary nonsense that you're taught from the cradle to the grave. Godless parents, godless grandparents, godless primary teachers, godless professors in colleges and universities. Any one of you that's read one single book in opposition to evolution, any one of you read one single paragraph in opposition to evolution, any one of you read one single sentence in opposition to it? Answer, no. You just accept it blindly because your parents taught it to you, because you were taught it in school, because it's pumped into you through the media, indoctrinated from the cradle to the grave, swallowing the lie without even thinking about it. Evolution is a lie. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You did not come out of some primordial sludge. You are not a piece of chemical fizz. You're not an accident that climbed out of that sludge. You are a man or a woman created in the image of God. And that, of course, is why you're able to do the things that you do. Science, logic, chemistry, all of these things. Yes. None of them
yes.
could you do
yes.
without God's revelation. Not a single one of them. You see the effect that the lie has on them. It makes them fools. That's what God says. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. It's futile thinking. It's rubbish. It's nonsense. It's a lie from the very pit of hell that you need to repent of. Repentance in the Bible means a change of mind. Changing your mind about this lie that you've swallowed from the devil. It means changing your mind about God, His character, your own being, a man, a woman, made in the image of God. Change your mind about your sin and all its vomit that spews out of your life day after day. You need to repent of it, says God, and believe the gospel. Believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ, in order to be saved. Salvation is what the Bible's about, from beginning to end, from start to finish. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. They're all dead and buried and gone to hell. Every single one of them. Jesus Christ is Lord because He's alive. Alive from the dead and alive forevermore. For that reason, alone, you ought to bow the knee to Him. King Jesus, Lord of Lords, God of Gods, the one who one day will judge you in righteousness. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. Without Him you can't know nothing. Without Him you can't do your science. Without His revelation, the knowledge that He's imparted to you, man, woman, made in the image of God, with knowledge about yourself and your Creator imparted to you, you can't get rid of it. No matter how much you talk about it, no matter how much you try, you can use Darwin, Dawkins, and any other daft soul that you care to name. You can use them all and their arguments, but you can never erase the knowledge of God from your soul. You know that God is. You know as well as I do that God is. He's made it plain to you, He says. He's shown it to you, and you even understand it, God says. When a child is born into this world, before it knows anything, it knows that God is, and so do you. But God says, Bible says, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You don't want there to be a God, wishful thinking. You can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. You don't want to find Him because you love your sin, you love His vomit, you love His darkness, you love His filth, you love the uncleanness, you love your sin, and you don't want to let it go. And you know, that if you stop suppressing the truth, if you acknowledge the truth about God, you know that you have to give up your sin. And you're not willing to do that. You will not do that unless God sovereignly, kindly, mercifully imparts salvation to you. So listen up, people. Salvation, repentance. Without God, you can know nothing and you can do nothing. How, I ask you, in an accidental universe, how can you, in a world made by God, but you say it was just an accident, an explosion. Nobody can tell you where the explosion came from. Nobody can tell you where the chemicals came from to make an explosion. There just happened to be, accidentally, there just happened to be a bang, and it produced matter. And then a few billion years passed, and that matter became intelligent. How intelligent is that, I ask you? And then after a few more billion years, it became moral. People, if you can believe that, I tell you, you've got more faith than me. I've got a God who did all these things in 6 days, literal 24-hour periods. God spoke and brought the universe into being and created you, a man, a woman, made in God's image. But how, pray tell me, how in a random universe, if everything's just accidental, if everything's just random, then tell me, if you live in a changing universe, as your evolutionists tell you, then pray tell me how you can have uniformity in nature. The sun came up yesterday, the sun came up this morning, and the sun, doubtless, you know as well as I do, it'll come up tomorrow morning. You say, of course it will. Well, how can you guarantee that? How can you expect that if you live in a changing universe? People, you cannot have uniformity in nature without God. Laws of nature are there. The planets stay in their ordained place. Why? There are laws of nature because God put them there. Laws don't come from matter. Laws come from an intelligent mind. The mind of God. That's how you have uniformity in nature, and that's why the universe is unchanging, not changing. According to your evolutionary nonsense, you're just a piece of chemical fizz. Well, how, pray tell me, can you expect there to be law and order? How can you expect there to be even common decency? I mean, what's wrong with one man murdering another? Isn't that just survival of the fittest? What's wrong, pray tell me, will you? What's wrong with a man raping a woman? How can you expect law and order if you're just a piece of chemical fizz, if you're all just accidents, and it's all just a matter of the survival of the fittest? People, you can't do law and order without God. Morality, the morality that you cling to, you got from the Bible, you got from God's revelation. God revealed such to you. There was a German philosopher 100 years ago by the name of Nietzsche. He popularized the phrase, God is dead. Surprise, surprise, Nietzsche's dead, but God's still alive. You see, people, he berated this philosopher. He berated his fellow English atheists. He said to them, you cling to your morality. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. That comes from Christianity. You can't be an atheist and cling to your morality. Well, you might not agree with him, but at least he was consistent with what he believed. But of course you're not. There's nothing more inconsistent than a godless atheist. You know, you cling to the morality, you cling to the uniformity in nature, you live off the back of what God's revealed to you, but at the same time, you deny His existence. Inconsistency, that's what it's called. At least live consistently to what you believe. If you really do believe there is no God, if you really do believe that you are an atheist, get rid of your morality. Throw it out the window. Go do your own thing. But of course you don't believe that. You don't believe that there's no God. That's called self-deception. You deceive yourself. You live off the back of what God's revealed and you deny His existence. Self-deception. That's what it's called. You can't live according to what you believe. You've got to do your moral thing. You gotta do your science. You gotta do all these things in order to live. But every policeman, every court, every judge, every prison that you build is a testimony to the reality that God is. Because that's where your morality comes from. You can't have morality without God. You can't have uniformity in nature without God. You couldn't do science if there was no uniformity in nature. Yesterday, salt dissolved in water. Today, salt dissolves in water. Will the future be the same as the past? How can you guarantee that? You cannot. If you're an evolutionist, if you swallowed the lie, you cannot. You can't expect it, but of course you do expect it. You know it will do. Why? Because God has revealed knowledge to you. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. Without the knowledge that He has imparted to you, you could do none of these things that you do. It's kind of like, you know, I've got a good business idea, but I haven't got the collateral to set it going. So I come to you and I ask you for the money and you say, sounds like a good idea. I'll give you £1 million to set it up. So I set it up, I get it running, and it's making more millions. And you come to me and say, well, where's my share? I gave you the collateral to set this going. And I say to you, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. Would you be angry? You would be blazing angry. You would be ready to kill me. And people, that's why the wrath of God is revealed against you, your unrighteousness and your ungodliness. Because you live off the back of God's revelation and then turn around and deny that you even know Him. But you do know Him. You know Him in wrath. You know Him in displeasure. For the wrath of God is being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Because God has made it plain to you. You know that He exists. He has shown it to you. And He says that you even understand it. I'll take God's word any day before yours. You know that God is. You know that He exists. Stop suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Repent and believe the gospel. And you shall be saved, God says. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Change of thinking, people. That's what's required of you. A change of mind. Jesus tells us that all the bad stuff, all the muck and filth, all the vomit of your sin, He tells us where it comes from. blasphemy, filth, uncleanness, immorality, every false idea, false religion, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Roman Catholicism, every false religion and every false philosophy, evolution included. All comes out of the mind. All comes out of the evil hearts of men and women, such as yourself and myself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. It's the heart and mind that's the heart of the problem. Heart must be changed. You must be born again, Jesus said. Because unless the man's born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. You must be born from above. God must miraculously, supernaturally change your nature. You were born in sin, God says, conceived in it. You have a sinful nature, that's why you do the sin. You're a sinner not because of what you do, say and think. You're a sinner by nature, and that's why you think and act and speak sinfully. And unless your nature's changed, you'll remain the same as you are. It takes a miracle from God, you see. But, thank you, sir. You see, people, God, he asks the question of you in the Bible. Can you change the spots on a leopard? And you say, no, of course you can. That's its natural state and condition. That's impossible. Who says it's impossible? Who determines what's possible and what's impossible? Not you. God does. You say it's impossible, God, to create the world in 6 days. Who says so? God determines what's possible and what's impossible. You say it's impossible for a man to rise from the dead after being dead 3 days. Who says so? You? Your tiny little mind? God! God's the sovereign determiner of what's possible and impossible. Not you, not scientism, or any other field, discipline of education that you care to mention. Now, people, with you, an impossibility, but not God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, how can you, says God, a further question, how can you who are accustomed to doing evil, habitual evil, wickedness, how can you who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good? Answer to the question, impossible. With you that is. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can change your nature. He can change your natural state and condition. Give you a new nature. That's what it means to become a Christian. To become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Recreated. Remade. Made all over again by the sovereign decree and power of Almighty God. But it's not in your strength, it's not in your power to become a Christian. You can no more make yourself a Christian than pull yourself up by your bootlaces. You can't repent of yourself, you can't believe of yourself, you can't do squat of yourself. All you can do is sin, all you can do is do your sinful nature. That tells you to do. It cracks the whip, it tells you what to do, and you do it, and you can't help yourself. All you can do is sin. Sin, 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 that's all you are, through and through, start to finish. You are born in it, you live in it, and you'll die in it. Unless you believe, says Jesus, that I am He, the Christ of God, the Savior of sinners. Yes, sir. You can dance and you can high five, but I tell you, on that day, when God judges the world in righteousness, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be judged by Jesus Christ in that day. And I tell you, there'll be no high fives then. There'll be no dancing then. There'll be no speaking then. You'll be so terrified, your mouth will not be opened. Why do I tell you these things? Because I hate you, not because I love you. Because I'm your neighbor, and God tells me to love my neighbor. I come and I tell you these things in order that you might be saved from the wrath to come. Your neighbor's house was on fire, and your neighbor was asleep in bed, unaware that his house was on fire. If you loved him, what would you do? You wouldn't just knock on his door, you'd kick his door in and drag him out the flames. That's what I'm here for, because I love you, and I'm trying to drag you out of the flames of hell. Your house is on fire. It's already burning. I'm amazed you can't feel the heat. You can't smell the sulfur. Hell's flames are licking at your feet already. And I'm here to warn you, flee the wrath to come. You're heading for a precipice. And over the edge of it, you're blind to it. And over the edge of it, eternal, everlasting damnation. Stop, stop, turn around, repent, and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved, people. You need saving, you need rescuing, and that's what Jesus came for. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the gospel, not religion. The gospel is this: Christ died for the ungodly. You got it? Christ, a person, not a religion. Not Muhammad, not Islam, not Buddhism, not Confucianism. Christ Jesus, a person, the Son of God, and proved, demonstrated to be the Son of God by the power of his resurrection from the dead. A person, Jesus. Have you got it? People, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the gospel. It's about a person, not a religion. And people, what did he do? He died. He died, people, on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. But you say, thousands of men died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Sure they did. But only one was the Son of God. Only one was the appointed Savior. Only one was the Christ of God. Only one. Only one was the Redeemer. The one who was dying, not because he deserved to die. He was dying the death that you should have died. He died for the sins of others. He died an atoning death, that by his blood you might be washed and made clean. Like the prophet Moses says in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. God himself has provided a blood sacrifice. His own Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus died an atoning death. He died for who? He died for the ungodly. Did he die for everybody? No. He died for those whom God chose to salvation from before the foundation of the world. He died for the elect of God, those chosen to salvation. He died for the ungodly, for those who in nature and practice are contrary in every which way to God. They live in disobedience to God's law. That's what's there's consequences, the coming wrath of God. So dear people, is the gospel, Christ died for the ungodly. But of course the only way that you'll ever know and be assured that you are one of God's chosen few, and that is if you repent, that is if you hearken to the message, believe the gospel, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only escape route open to you. The gospel, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, wretched sinners such as you, that you might be taken out of the vomit of your sin, and that you might be kept out of it, that you might be washed and made clean. Hymn writer asks the question, and he says, what will wash away my stain? And he answers the question, he says, nothing but the blood of Jesus, the only commodity that can wash away the stain of sin, that can remove it and make you clean and make you able to stand before God with confidence in that day. But here's four things that God would have you, he needs you to know. God makes the invitation to sinners. He says, come to me, he says, and I will give you rest. Well, maybe it is an invitation, but I think it's more of a command, you know, because God does whether you like it or not. And of course, in this anti-authoritarian generation in which you live, well, you won't take kindly to people commanding you. You know, who's the government? Who's the police? Who's the teacher? You know, to command me and tell me what to do. Anti-authoritarianism, it marks your society. It's pervasive in your society today. But rest assured, God does command, and he commands explicit obedience. Listen to what he says. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever. Is it any wonder that your children are wrecked by drugs, by sex, alcohol, and all the anti-authoritarianism that you, of course, have fed into them? Is it any wonder that your young people are wrecked even before they get out of their teens? No wonder at all. Because you disobey God, they disobey him too, and they disobey your authority as well. But then there's something else that God commands, and that's repentance. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance, change of mind, change of heart, turning in your mind from your futile thinking about evolution, your worldly wisdom, to receive God's thoughts after him, the wisdom of God that refutes the wisdom of this world. Change of mind about God, his character, his being, who he is, your creator, your judge, and the one who would be your redeemer if you would but repent and believe the gospel. God also commands faith. Jesus answered, have faith in God. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. He has not believed in the name of the Son of God. I do not condemn you people. You're already condemned. You're already under the condemnation of God as a result of your unbelief, your rejection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God commands explicit obedience. God commands repentance. God commands faith. And God commands holiness. Without holiness, no one, he says, shall see the Lord. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no one shall ever see the Lord. People, faith, repentance, leading to a change, a transformation of heart and life that leads to a life of holiness. Out of the debauchery of sin, out of the blackness and darkness of your false, godless religion, unbelieving Islam, unbelieving Buddhism, unbelieving Confucianism, unbelieving evolutionism, it's all religion, it's all religious dogma, false religion, blackness and darkness, damnable false religion, blinds millions of people the world over, keeps them in bondage to sin and keeps them under the condemnation and wrath of God. There is only one escape, only one way out, and that's through obedience to God, obedience to the gospel, explicit obedience, God's command to repent, God's command to believe in his only Son. That's what God commands. That's what God demands. And without that, you cannot be saved. God commands holiness, repentance and faith that leads to holiness of life, obedience to the commands of God. You say, what on earth are those commandments of God? A day and generation that knows nothing, knows squat about the Bible, God's law, the gospel, or anything else. Here is God's commandments for you. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's the blasphemy. That's the cursing with God's name and the name of his Son Jesus. Again, you see the inconsistency of the atheist. You talk more about God than anybody else. You can't leave his name alone. I don't believe in Santa Claus, but I don't go on about him. But you godless atheists, you can't leave his name alone. You're always talking about him. You get in trouble, a crisis, and what's the first name on your lips? Oh my God! Yes. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. A summary of God's law, of which he requires perfect obedience, explicit obedience. And if you fail in one point, you've lost it, you're out of it, you are condemned. And people, the only person, the only one who ever rendered explicit, perfect obedience to God's commandments was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And through faith in his name, believing in him, trusting in his perfect obedience, his blood sacrifice, his resurrection from the dead, that righteousness, that perfect obedience of the Son of God will be imputed to you. And God will look upon you no more as a child of disobedience, but a child of obedience. Child of God, to as many as received him, Jesus, them he gave the right, the authority to become children of the living God. God now commands all, everywhere, to repent and believe the gospel. Well, people, Bible copy, the Word of God is offered to you this afternoon. Extract from the Bible, we will see that these things are so. God's Word is infallible, faultless Word. Word that you can trust, the truth, the absolute truth. No truth outside of this book, outside of the Bible. God's Word, he alone speaks the truth, offered to you, free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you, yes, to take and do with as you will. But it's God's Word, has the power, has the ability to make you wise for salvation. Not clever, but wise. Wise for salvation. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus, whom I declare to you. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved from sin's power, its penalty, and its presence that permeates your world, your society, your own hearts and lives. Salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that name alone, no other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. Only the precious name, God's Son Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior of sinners. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word?